There's always a shade. My dear devotees, in spiritual life, there is a very important consideration of adhika, of eligibility. Because when you do something, you're not eligible, you can't digest it. Consider a little child who can only take liquid food. When you would give the little child prakoras and sweet rice, the child, if at all something fits in, will after some time become ill with this food. So everyone in spiritual life is always always encouraged to think about their adhika, their ability or eligibility. In the third yama, Tritiya Yama Sadhana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur directly addresses this question, and by quoting a humble submission by Prahlad Maharaj. Naitan manastava katha suvaikuntanata sampriyate durita dushtamasa dutivram kamaturam hashashoka vayashananatam tasmin katam tavagatim vrimrishami dina. Prahlad Maharaj, in great humility, but also with a somewhat frustrated or disappointed demeanor, addresses Krishna directly and confesses to him his situation in regard to hearing about Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes. He says, O Lord of Vaikuntha, when I'm coasting, this is a modern word from England, let me translate this. O Lord of Vaikuntha, when there is no anxiety in my life, this mind of mine takes absolutely no pleasure in hearing about you, for it is contaminated, evil and difficult to control. This mind of mine cannot take interest in you because it is obsessed with lusty desires and overcome by lamentation when something goes wrong, jubilation when something goes right, and fear when I don't know how it's going. With a mind such as this, how can an unfortunate person like myself ever hope to attain you? So, we all know the holy name is Krishna. Hearing about Krishna's pastimes means directly to associate with Krishna. But still, at times we cannot convince our mind to cooperate because it is already obsessed and occupied with something else. Our Prahlad Maharaj gives us beautiful analogy. He says that just like a person who is married few wives, that was possible in older times. When he comes home, he cannot be peaceful because each one of his six or seven wives wants to now, after not seeing him the entire day, spend some personal time with with him. And they all want to pull him into their own room for such an activity. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes this image and speaks about this. He says, "O Lord, if you would tell me, do more kirtan, that will purify you, that alone can cure your wicked mind, then I have to confess to you, it would be easy if I wouldn't have a tongue, if I wouldn't have genitals, and so on, if I wouldn't have inclinations to become wealthy." He says, "Even if I want to sit down and do kirtan, my tongue is never satisfied and pulls me either to taste new foods or to speak ISKCON gossip." Oh, sorry. This is not in the text. I'm very sorry. "Or my tongue forces me to speak gossip, unpleasant words or falsehoods. Similarly, I have other senses that pull me, for instance, to seek out beautiful women, or to work very hard to gain worldly wealth, or to defeat my enemies." "Thus, I'm robbed of my energy to engage in your kirtan and other kinds of service. Do you know the situation, my dear devotees? You come home after a day of work. You want to concentrate on a sacred book, perhaps chant a few rounds or do kirtan. But your mind is so turbulent that it seems to be only satisfied with the new series of Netflix. Do you know this situation?" "Yes, and some of you smile about my knowledge about your life." "Yes, we know, because these are heavy forces. Our eyes want to see, our mind wants to be entertained, and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a song out of it, a song of frustration, I call it. Jivatane rasa prati upasta kadate udara, means stomach, udara damoda, no? Udara bojanatane, oops. Vishama anate. Everyone, my tongue pulls me towards tasting palatable dishes, while the genitals push me towards promiscuity. I don't know what this is. It's sexual engagement, which is illicit, I think. The belly pulls me to overeating, the source of so many serious disturbances. Do you know when you overeat, that is why you become so sick in old age especially. The sense of touch pulls me to lying down in a luxurious bed, and the nose incites me to smell sweet fragrances. I remember once in the early days we had our Govardhan retreats at the Balkrishna Bhavan. That is about, I would say, 15 minutes by walk in this direction. So the devotees were leaving their room to come to the lecture, which was in the Gopinath Gardens, we called it. We had a pandal. And I was, of course, again late, so I ran. And I went with the stream of the devotees who were going to the lecture. But then I noticed the heads of the devotees were flying to the left side, and I looked what was there, and there was a perfume dealer who had the very nice fragrances, and he had opened the bottles and was waving it a little in the air on all the devotees who wanted to go to the lecture. They're slightly overwhelmed by the perfume and especially, anyways, I won't say who especially. The stream of my audience who was on the way to my lecture, the major stream was severely diverted to the fragrances and so on. So Bhaktivinoda, this is representative to all the sense enjoyments. We hear from the Bhagavatam that when the mind starts to register through the senses a particular attractive sense enjoyment, it wraps it. It becomes entangled, that's the word, with this, and is no longer free to go. The nose incites me to smell sweet fragrances in Baal Krishna Bhavan. The nose incites me to smell sweet fragrances while the eyes want to look at beautiful things. The working senses each want to act in their own way. They are pulling on my mind, just like many co-wives pulling simultaneously on their husband. In such a situation, how will it ever be able, my mind, to remember your pastimes, O son of Nanda? My dear devotees, this is the embarrassing situation of the conditioned souls. It has tastes for the things of the world and a lack of taste, it's called aruchi, of things of the transcendental world. Can you understand this? This point is taken up by each sincere Vaishnava. We can't ignore this. And therefore, generally, my dear devotees, smaranam is not so easy. It is said in our scriptures, also japa is not as easy as what? Kirtan. Because for japa and also smaranam, you need a purified mind. This is what Sanatana Goswami writes about in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. If the mind is covered with the dust of material impressions, when you sit down to do japa, and or you sit down to do to remember Krishna, often your mind gets invaded by these material thoughts and you cannot concentrate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has therefore severely criticized the effect to do uninterrupted bhajan. He says these bhajan devotees who intend to spend all day chanting like Haridas Thakur, they will in the end only think of money and women. That is his severe criticism, because he was referring to the fact that the material mind is not silenced by japa and by smaran, but it is silenced by hearing the loud chanting of the holy names. In kirtan. At the beginning there is a struggle between the mind and the sound of the holy name. But as you continue to sit in the kirtan and pray to Krishna that you overcome your dislike and disinclination, the holy name goes into your ears and there it cleanses the heart from all material contamination. The same thing happens when you hear about Krishna Katha attentively. Please chant with me the well-known mantra, Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani vidonoti sudit satam. In this verse, we hear that Srinvata Svakata, Krishna, if we hear about the kata of Krishna, then the Lord in the heart will remove all inauspicious things from the heart, you know, the dust on the mirror of the mind, and so on. Prabhupada says, makes a very interesting remark in the purport. He says, most of us are not interested to go back to Godhead. We want to go to Bali or Goa or wherever, where the weather is good, you know. Most of us are not interested, but the Lord is nevertheless so kind to us that he appears in these two forms, in the kirtan and the hearing of Hari Katha from the mouths of devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after saying what is the embarrassing situation, offers a very interesting solution. It comes from the prayers of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu, the emperor of the world, had received a blessing that by the Lord. The Lord had once appeared in one of his sacrifices, and the Lord had promised him, you will meet four devotees, the four Kumaras, and when they come to your house and talk about Krishna Katha, you will receive the ultimate blessing. So Prithu Maharaj knew about the power of hearing about Krishna from devotees, so therefore he had asked the Lord this prayer. Na kama yena tatat apyaham kvachin na yatra yushmach charanam buyasava mahatamanta hridayan mukachuto vidatsva kana chutam eshamevara. O Lord, I will not ask you anything. Which doesn't have the nectar of your lotus feet. He doesn't ask for chariots, for good swords, for long-range bows which can shoot arrows over a long distance into the heart of the enemy and grants a great advantage in military combat. No, because you can. Anyways, who wants to hear about these things? Rather, I asked you to grant me this one boon, one thing, that I be given unlimited ears, which I may hear the nectar of from your lotus feet as it pours from the hearts and the mouths of the great souls. That is what I want. I want to meet devotees who talk about Krishna, who give the nectar of your lotus feet. They have realized it. It's in their heart. It's not theory. It's locked in the heart. And from the heart, it comes like a reverse waterfall who flows in the other direction, not this way, but that way. It comes out through their mouth and it goes into my ears, from there it goes into the heart and it wipes away the impurities. So two recipes for us conditioned souls are given: repeated hearing of the holy name in kirtan, and the second is to hear about Krishna from the devotees. This process of hearing is really at the core of the Gaudiya Sadhana. If you wish to know how to make advancement, look at Kirtan and look at Krishna Katha. This will help you to actually advance. And Prabhupada writes about this in the Nectar of Devotion. I will first give you a quotation. Some of you like to take notes. This is an important quotation. It's in the Bhagavatam 3.9.11. I repeat for you, 3.9, you know, 3 times 3 is 9, so you can remember this. And then you add 2, like the 2 limbs, or 2 lungs, or 2 brain halves, and then you have 11. 3.9.11. Very... maybe some of you will find this confusing. So, 3.9.11. Here is a description why hearing works so much. It is described as a path, and Prabhupada will say why this path is most successful. It's not just that we hear, oh yeah, I should hear Kirtan and sing Kirtan and hear Krishna Katha. You must be convinced why this will solve your problem of having no taste in Krishna and being distracted to the world again and again, sometimes in most embarrassing ways. So here you have the verse. It will talk about the path. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita krit saroja aseshu tekshita pato nanunata pumsam yad yatti yata urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vapu pranayase sat anugrahaya. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you. It's not that they cannot see you. Your devotees can see you, but through the ears. By the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So hearing about Krishna, Shravanam, leads apparently to Smaranam. So could you understand the everything, or is it, should I repeat what it says? Your Lord can see you through the eyes of hearing, because when they hear about you, you come into their hearts and you take your seat there. And there is one thing which is special about you. In whatever form the devotees prefer to meet you, that's how you come to them. I would like to narrate the story of Tulsidas to you. He had heard that in the age of Kali, the Lord manifests personally where? In Puri, exactly. From the place where the Lord manifests, you will get at the end, if you have not yet robbed me before. So Tulsidas said, let me go to Jagannath Puri to see the Lord. On the way he was meditating on his Lord with his greenish complexion, his eyes that are full of karuna, mercy, who bears a bow, you know. And now when he entered the Puri temple, he saw a short lord with big eyes smiling at him. He saw Lord Jagannath. He had expected to see Ram, Sita and Lakshman. He had gone a long, long way from where he stayed. It was near Varanasi, if I'm correct, where his residence was, yes? So he had gone all this way to see Lord Ram on the altar, because in Padma Purana it has said that the Lord manifests in Puri in the age of Kali. He said, finally, after so much separation from my Lord, I meet him. And he came in and saw Lord Jagannath, not Lord Ram, on the altar. My dear devotees, he was shocked at first. How can the scripture say something which is untrue? He was disappointed because all his devotional sentiments were in this direction. Lord Ram. And he was desperate because now he knew the Lord cannot be contacted in Kali Yuga. In great, great anxiety, without even taking a morsel of food, he went away from Puri. He walked for 6 kilometers and he finally, totally exhausted, found a tree in a little village. As far as I remember, it was Malikapura, and there under a tree fell into a deep sleep with confused dreams. So when Tulsi hurried out of the temple, after some time, Subhadra spoke to Jagannath. My dear elder brother, maybe it is inappropriate for me to say this, but you are a liar. You have said that anyone who comes to your holy dham will get your Mahaprasadam and will become purified. It is said, my dear devotees, when you go to Navadvip, you get purified by what? Harinam Sankirtan, yes. When you go to Vrindavan, you get purified by the dust of Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes, this dust can give you everything, not like the dust of Hyderabad, which cannot give you anything, you know. Perhaps it can give you a disease, but no, not. And in Puri you become purified by what? Mahaprasad, even if it drops from the mouth of a kaka, yes, a crow. Yes, this is the so Subhadra, this is your statement, but you said anyone who comes will get your prasadam somehow or other, but he is a devotee and he is left hungry and with tears in his eyes. I'm disappointed in the truth of your words. This was the younger sister. Lord Jagannath had to consider what his beloved sister said. Meanwhile, Tulsi, evening had settled and Tulsi was sleeping there, his exhausted, confused sleep, 6 kilometers. All of a sudden, he felt someone on his shoulder. And, hey, Baba, wake up! And he saw a beautiful Brahmin boy, quite effulgent, who was carrying a huge plate. The plate was made from gold, solid gold, and said, here's some prasadam for you. You have not eaten anything, and you are crying needlessly. Said Tulsi, how do you know? Someone sent me from Puri. Oh, what? Who? Who said Tulsi? Yes. He has big eyes. He sent me and said, this is his own plate, golden plate, and you should eat. And tomorrow you should come back again and you should look properly. You have not looked properly. So eat your eat and bring the golden plate with you when you return. So Tulsi was very, very, very glad, and when he ate, one of the preparation was most probably this. You all recognize it. When he ate, he was very charmed and felt ecstatic feelings of love in his heart and hope rise. And so he went back to the Jagannath Puri temple. And as he entered in that last temple, there are a few, you know, halls, that last hall, and looked, he saw where the day before was that wonderful person, Mahima, that great person with big eyes, his Lord Ram standing upright with a bow in his hand, a green complexion, and so merciful eyes. He saw next to him Mother Sita, and then still next he saw Lakshman. And he fell down in obeisances, and he heard a voice in his heart, next time look properly. This is what to this day, my dear devotees, on one day in our temples you also see Lord Jagannath is no longer black but green. Have you seen? Maybe it's not done in all temples, but in our Berlin temple it is done once a year, and there is a bow and arrows, and in a, how do you call this, where you put the arrows in? Quiver. A quiver, yes. There is Subhadra, who has a zari like Sita, and it's a very wonderful darshan. Because this is what is said here, you are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. This is Lord's mercy. Now I will do a little bit more philosophy. Please, please, please listen carefully. Prabhupada writes here something. I need to just find it. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. So in you there is already a certain inclination to serve the Lord, maybe as a young cowherd boy, that would be the Sakya Rasa. That is there. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna. Therefore, are you listening? I think you're not listening. You're listening, good. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Svarup Siddhi. My dear devotees, there is a particular attachment already in a potential form in your heart, but it needs to be awakened in order to manifest. Let me give you an example that will make some of you blush, but it comes from Vedanta Sutra, so it's good. Do we have a young boy here? Young child boy. Where? Dhruva, come. How old are you, Dhruva, now? Oh, I don't know if you will be a good... I have to ask you a confidential question. No one will hear. You're still okay. So, imagine Dhruva 5 years younger. I think you were 5 years ago to here already, or 4 years maybe.
Wait,
5 years ago, 7. Yeah. If I asked Dhruva a question and he was not sure about the answer, I asked him, do you sometimes have a sexual desire in your heart? He was not sure what to answer. If I would have asked him 5 years ago, do you, Dhruva, when he was this, he would so ask, what? What is that? If I would explain to him what it is, he would say, no. Something has happened from 5 years ago to now. What is happening is an awakening of something that is a desire that manifests now. Now I'm asking you a question. Dhruva, thank you very, very much. You did excellent. You may sit down here. Now I will ask you, was the desire about which a 12-year-old boy is not so sure if it is there or not, but there is already, it might be there, a question, you know, in the mind. Was it already there 5 years ago, yes or no?
No.
Some say no, others say yes. If I would be Hari Prasad, I would say my audience is conflicted. Yes, it was there, said the Vedanta Sutra, in an unmanifested form. And it starts to manifest when a person is reaching a certain physical maturity, and then it comes out. And then if he hears about it, sees photos and so on, a little bit down the road, it will be fully blossomed. In philosophy, you call this, now I'm not, theology. There is a word, it starts with T. It is a not yet manifested potential. So Prabhupada says here, everyone is an eternal servitor of the Lord. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. So it will require some stimuli to bring that out, and then the young boy who never thought of such things until his parents felt the need to talk to him is mature and is developing a desire and will enter the family life and have a beautiful family. No? Do you understand this subject? Yes, bhakti is inside of us eternally. And yes, bhakti needs to be awakened in us. Both is simultaneously there, and there is no point of arguing for one or the other. So this, how do we awaken our natural inclination for our relationship with Krishna, and with it our Swarup Siddhi, our eternal nature? My dear devotees, this is done by hearing Krishna Katha and also the holy name. These two need to go together. My dear devotees, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a very good insight how the holy name must always, always, always be accompanied with Krishna Katha. He gives the example, Krishna or Lord Hari always comes together with whom? Radharani, yes, worshipped on the altar. In the same way, he says, the holy name comes together with the Bhagavatam. This is our primary reference for Krishna Katha in our parampara, our lineage. No, this is very important. My dear devotees, don't neglect Krishna Katha, and don't neglect to remember what you have heard from time to time. Here is what Prabhupada writes about this in the Nectar of Devotion. Are you still with me? Nectar of Instruction. You are still with me. Do we need energy exercises like standing on our heads to get the circulation? No. It's also not so good. You do. So he says, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is a certain stage or level in devotional life. Shravana Dasha. Say? Shravana Dasha. It's with a long A, the last A. Dasha. It's not Dasa, that's being a servant. Dasha. This stage is called the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities and pastimes, this Krishna Katha, one can attain the stage of acceptance called, listen carefully, Varana Dasha. This is, Prabhupada translates it as acceptance. You hear and you accept. I would like to give a synonym for the word acceptance in this context. I'm not so good in English. Appropriation. The subject which you hear becomes internalized, and you own it in some ways, and in this way you have accepted it like you accept food inside. No? It becomes something that starts to live in you. Isn't that what happens when we hear a good book or a good description? Like yesterday we heard the information how Krishna comes out of the Yamuna. There is a description in the Kaliya Damana Leela when Krishna comes out of the Yamuna. His beautiful body glistens as the water drops run down his beautiful body. No, and so if we hear such things, it might an internal image forms in us, which if we hear more and more and more, takes an inner dynamic which will move, smile, and so on and so forth. So first hearing, what was that? And then accepting, that was called? Yeah. When one attains this stage, this last stage, he actually becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. And when one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smarana Dasha, the stage of remembering. And from there it goes on and on into stages of samadhi and so on and so forth. And finally comes sampati dasha, the perfection of life. Because with that hearing, my dear devotees, with that constant hearing and accepting or internalizing or appropriating or making it your own or engaging with the subject, no? Something happens which is very beautiful. Your antakarana gets, your inner body, mind, intelligence, ego gets purified, and you see in the mirror, the pure mirror of the inner mind, you see Krishna develop attachments and attachment to him. This is very scientific, very good. My dear devotees, I could verify this from my little knowledge of neuroscience. Neuroscience asks the questions, how does a person think and how is it that most people have predictable thoughts? Like, you know, when I took my first question, I knew the person had a predictable thought, thinking of Krishna is too difficult for me. How do I know this? I know what where the person lives, I know what the person hears, I know the narratives, the stories that are told in their environment, and therefore I can easily conclude what will be the thought of this person, because the hearing and the engaging with a certain subject will make a certain conviction grow. Once I asked my father, worldly father, how could you be party of the Nazi regime where you killed thousands of innocent people in so-called concentration camps? You know, they were told, you can take a shower now. And they went into the shower room, these people who went to these camps, happily that finally they could clean themselves and be hygienic. But from the showers came deadly gas, and they were falling into they were suffocating and dying. How could you do this? I asked my father. You know what you told the people when you told them they should go in the gas chambers. You know they were not showers, but gas chambers. How could you murder people? And my father was very disturbed about the question. He said, I answer you tomorrow. I'm too upset at this moment. And in the morning, and the next day, he said, you do not understand. We were taken as young boys from our families, and we were told in the schools that we are the healthy race, the Aryans. Yes, that word was used. And it would be good for planet Earth if we spread, if we multiply, and we need to first of all drive people out of their countries and kill them, and then the world would be healthy. We were told people of the other races, they are the disease of planet Earth. They have made everything wrong. We were told this by scientists. We were shown pictures. We were repeatedly told this. And then my mother says, you don't know anything. We were told, we young ladies, 14 years, we should quickly marry and have blue-eyed and blonde-haired children. If children were not fulfilling these qualifications, there was something like, there were hospitals where they were taken care of, you know, when they were crippled or so, the children were killed in the hospital because they were not useful, they were not healthy. That was the stories which we listened. And we listened when we were children, when we could not make our own opinion. Finally, the story became our own conviction. If you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth who hear this, to the people who hear this. This is called indoctrination. This is called, this is the danger of demonic and demoniac societies. The friends of Prahlad Maharaj, when he started to say, to talk about Krishna, said, what do you tell? We never have heard about this. Never before. But Prahlad continued to preach and told them a different story. You are, there is a God, we are part of him. And because of his mercy and his kindness, they began to slowly believe differently and become differently convinced. My dear devotees, now we could ask the neuroscience, what is going on? How is, and they would tell you, neurons that fire together, these are fine things in the brain, build connection and vias, and then the thought, I'm not so good in this, the whatever that is necessary, the some type of bio electricity going on, that is then going in a certain way, in a certain direction of thought. No. So in the Bhagavad school, we have to hear. What do we have to hear? Two things. Holy name and Krishna Katha. Very important. This will work in a therapeutic way, and it will bring us out of the lie of material existence, that we are the center of the world. Each one of us is a little center of the universe, because we only think of us and of other things only in relationship to us. Do I like it? Do I not like it? We come out of this illusory life and become servants of Krishna. Could you understand what I was trying to speak about? Could you also understand why Prabhupada repeatedly asked us to chant and to read his books? He wrote us in Germany a letter. He said, because we were very good in book distribution, we were on top of the world, better than India. Oh. And Prabhupada wrote us, these books are not just for distributing, they're for you to read. If you don't do this, soon there will be no more Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. You're laughing, but do you see the seriousness of this? And are you prepared to reform your lousy reading and chanting habits? Oh. Yes, good, good, good. This is very, very important. And once we do this chanting and hearing, our smaranam will come effortless to us, because now our mind is going in another direction. The flow of our thoughts is coming naturally to Krishna. This is the gradual process, which if you want to read it, you can find it in Nectar of Instruction. Tanama Rupa. What verse is that? Text 8. 8, yes, text 8. My dear devotees, we will do this now. As we learned yesterday, you have to practice. And I will read to you now something from Krishna book about Krishna. Then I will do kirtan with you of the holy name, and I will request you to remember smaranam, what you have heard from Krishna book. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
First, I would like to quote to you that you are convinced of this process, Prabhupada's words from Krishna Book, Chapter 90. The transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are so very powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. The reason is, I will say here in my own words, that you develop attachment by hearing. And Prabhupada says, it is this attachment that makes one eligible to be transferred to Krishna's abode. Beautiful quotation, no? By hearing regularly, about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, and also reading and memorizing this book, Krishna, there it is, there you can hear about him. One is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. So, my dear devotees, now comes the hard part. I will read to you from Krishna book, and you have to stay attentive. Would you like to have a little help? Then we will chant together a fire mantra, Agni, which will purify the inner body. Then you have it easier. You will like this mantra very much. It's a little energetic, no problem. So I will say it one time alone, and then you should shout it out so that the sound will come in your subtle body and it will burn your disconcentration, your and so on. Is this all right? Well, not really shout, just very loud, and try to make sure it comes from the vocal cords. This is too high for the Mataji, so I have to go a little low. You know, as when we do so many kirtans, we know what tonalities are reachable by different people. That is what a kirtan leader is. And because I'm so inadept, I need this thing to remind me. Still difficult for you. Wait a minute, I don't have the sound as of yet. Here it is. I will say one time alone, and then we will say it five times together. Sit properly, please. We need to now change the energy level in our body and in our mind. Put your notebooks down. Tell yourself, we will now engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. Deep inhale. Deep inhale. For the next two, see a bright light in your mental mind that takes darkness away. Inhale. Who stayed in Vrindavan heard from far away the transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute. And then they remembered how Krishna was dressed, how he was decorated with a peacock feather on his head, just like a dancing actor, and with blue flowers pushed over his ear. His garment glowed yellow gold, and he was garlanded with a Vaidyajanti necklace. Dressed in such an attractive way, Krishna filled up the holes of his flute with the nectar emanating from his lips. So the gopis remembered him, how he entered the forest of Vrindavan, which is always glorified by the footprints of Krishna and his companions. Persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation of seeing Krishna internally and externally by thinking of him playing his flute, entering the Vrindavan forest, and tending the cows with the cowherd boys, such persons have really reached the perfection of samadhi. Now, Prabhupada will translate and talk about very unlikely candidates who have reached samadhis. It's the birds of Vrindavan. A young gopi told her mother, "My dear mother, the birds who are looking at Krishna, how he plays on his flute, are sitting very attentively on the branches and twigs of different trees." So there are birds like here, no? "From their features it appears that they have forgotten everything and are engaged only in hearing Krishna's flute. Doesn't this prove that they are not ordinary birds? They are actually great sages and devotees. And just to hear Krishna's flute, they have appeared in Vrindavan's forests as birds." Now we will hear about Giriraj, Govardhan, where we sit. Another gopi began to praise the unique position of Govardhan Hill in this way: "How fortunate is this Govardhan Hill, for it is enjoying the association of Lord Krishna and Balaram, who are accustomed to walking on it. Thus Govardhan is always in touch with the lotus feet of the Lord, and because Govardhan Hill is so obliged to Lord Krishna and Balaram, It is supplying different kinds of fruits and roots and herbs, as well as very pleasing crystal water from its lakes and presentation to the Lord. However, the best presentation offered by Govardhan Hill is not these different fruits. It's also not the minerals which are there and the jewels which are in the caves. The best presentation offered by Govardhan Hill, however, is newly grown grass for the cows and calves. Govardhan Hill knows a secret to please the Lord by pleasing his most beloved associates, the cows and the cowherd boys. So in this way, this katha continues from Prabhupada, and it ends with one last paragraph. Now all of you, from time to time, bring the mind back. What is that called? Mana Samharanam. You need to do this at the beginning of japa. You need to do this when you listen to a spiritual text. Now this will give us some instructions and some examples. While Krishna was engaged in tending the cows in the forest of Vrindavan or on Govardhan Hill, the gopis in the village were always absorbed in thinking of him and discussing his different pastimes. This is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness. To somehow or other remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. So, my dear devotees, Vashana, Melody, we will now do the third process. You have heard about Krishna, now we remember. Remember how, what you have heard, how he enters the forest of Vrindavan. This we have done already the day before yesterday, was the verse from the Bhagavatam. We remember the birds, you know, who are on the branches, totally closed their eyes in Samadhi. Or we will remember Giriraj, how Krishna Balaram walk on Giriraj, and how Giriraj reciprocates and ecstatically provides what is his best offering? Grass. It is said the grass are the hairs on his body that stand erect in ecstasy because of the sweetness that emanates from the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram that are tinged red. And when they walk, sometimes this red color becomes reflected in the crystals that are at Govardhan. So, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Rama, 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 Hare, Hare.
My dear devotees, there is a great danger in singing kirtan again and again. That is that the same habits that you have developed are awakened by it. In other words, when kirtan comes, some of you go absent-minded because you have done this all the time in your life. This now is about creating a new thought and a new future. You need to memorize anything. Bring it into your mind. This is the first level in Vaidhi Bhakti. Willfully bring the memory of Govardhan, perhaps of the birds. It's not so difficult. They help you at the moment. They chirp. Just try, and then next time you will remember this place, perhaps, on next time after next time. But you have to start somewhere. So we will now, whoever is your favorite deity, think of that deity in the beautiful land of Vrindavan and sing with all of us. Sing nicely.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Very good, very good.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please, one more time, everyone.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Everybody, please, please.
Hare Krishna,
everybody. everybody.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama.
Jaya Giriraj, Jaya Giriraj, Jaya Giriraj, Jaya Giriraj. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
So, Hare Krishna, I thank you very much. The summary of this lecture is quite simple. It is not so many points like yesterday. Yesterday was many points, but I felt I should start from Bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's thought flow of our disinclination and lack of taste. Why this is so? Sorry, that is a little loud. He gave the reason that our minds are so distracted with both mental and sensual impressions. And the solution we heard from Prithu Maharaj, he wants how many sets of ears and thousands, yes. I can't imagine. It's a little loud, yes. Thank you. It's... it's an old dragony. I think it has just declared its opposition to me. I press it and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Anyways, so I can't really imagine how he will have thousands of ears, but I think it is in a metaphorical sense. In the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, why does he need so many ears? It's not two sets enough? And he says, no, Prithu is thinking, wherever Krishna Katha is going on, I want to be there with a set of ears and hear that. So there are thousands of devotees doing Krishna Katha, and he doesn't want to miss one. That's his ecstatic exclamation. So what should we hear? That is two things. Remember? Holy name and Krishna Katha, yes. And how does this work? There was a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, seeing through what? The ears. We hear, this indicates a certain type of attentive hearing where something, some inner vision comes up, no? This is hearing. Jiva Goswami says, how exactly this hearing should be taking place? He says, like a calf that walks behind the mother who has a heavily filled udder and will always stay with the mother. It will not get lost and wander off, because it knows in that udder there is sweet milk for me. So when we hear about Krishna Katha, we should hear with the anticipation to hear some good nectar, no? That will nourish me. Like the calf, we should not distract or go somewhere else, we should move. And this type of hearing will actually bring a fulfillment. Something appears. You could say in scientific terms, a new wiring will happen. We will be wired differently. I think we say that in colloquial English. And to talk about it more spiritually, Krishna takes note of your effort to hear attentively, and he then cleanses these impurities. Do you know that the Lord is willing to become a street sweeper of your mind when you hear about him? He helps you in other ways. Therefore, when you can't chant and can't be, then you can pray to him, and by the help of the Lord, he helps. He helps you. And yes, then we were talking about different stages that we pass while we hear. First was Shravanadasa, then the appropriation state, Varanadasa, yes, it becomes your own, you internalize, and then finally Smaranadasa. There are two more stages which end in reaching the perfection, but for our purposes we will just be here. And then, believe it or not, we actually did it. We heard Krishna Katha from Krishna book, and we actually chanted the holy name, this combination. Now, my dear devotees, in the beginning it is a practice. Do you have faith that this could work for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe you already experienced from this immersive retreat. I can only call it like this. We hear so much. Yeah. Well, you hear, but you have to be careful, and I want to just say this at this stage. When you don't sleep enough, Krishna Katha and Kirtan becomes a mental torture. It still acts on the spiritual platform, but take care of yourself, pace yourself. No, so we did this. This is a summary of what we have heard today. We needed to address why it is difficult for us, and heard a little from Prahlad Maharaj and other perspectives. So now we should be determined to make a program of Shravanam Kirtanam in our life. The young people of India, they hear this type of music a lot. I'm missing the bass drum, the boom, 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 boom. So they, this is old, the new is this boom, 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 boom. You will hear this evening, because they have already, there will be a marriage, and they have tried the loudspeakers. Could you hear them? Very loud loudspeakers. So they hear this, and after some time they act like, I can't do it so well. They dress in the dress of who is Amrita Bacha, or what? Amrita Bacha. I hear he's a nicer man than in the movies, you know. It influences, it shapes them, just like the Nazis, the young Nazis were shaped. It shapes them in not such a dangerous way, but still, as far as the spiritual perspective is, they lose more and more their selves. A sad loss, because when the self is lost, everything is lost, no? And Krishna. So if you as devotees do not expose yourself sufficiently to Kirtan and Krishna Katha, you will catch up so many sound vibrations, and they will start to shape you unconsciously. No, I still could sing to you the both the melodies and the lyrics of the music I listened to. Some of it is classical music, but others was contemporary music, because it drilled itself in my memory. It's so much. But because I hear so much kirtan, you know what happens to me in the night? I sing in the night and wake up with the holy name, like I woke up tonight with the tune we sang not yesterday, but the day before yesterday. It was going on the whole night. And I thought, wow, I don't even need to make an effort to sing kirtan when I wake up. It's already going on. It's only because I made a vow to myself. I want to take part maximum in kirtan, because I could understand the process of Krishna consciousness will only work like this, through kirtan. And then lately I discovered listening to the Bhagavatam, and I greatly benefit from these two things. Whenever it's possible, I try to do it. Really, it works, my dear devotees. And if it works for me, if you would have seen me before I came to Krishna consciousness, you would not have talked to me. I was very arrogant. I would also not have talked to you. I would have sneered at you and made comments in German, but you would understand what I would say. I would make sure. It was very arrogant, and I still have to work very hard on becoming. So it works, and if it works, it works for countless people. Jiva Goswami says also this memory. Remember when we said it works for children? Who was the example? Dhruva. Yes, it works for people on their deathbed. Ajamir. It works for people after death. Gajendra. Yes, so this really works, but you have to do it. You should not be like the normal overdosed lecture goer who in one ear and out of another. You should see, okay, this I'm going to practice, this part, because you will only discover it, that it works, when you practice it. Otherwise, it will remain something boring, because you heard it so often. It will be just, you will think that's a religious narrative. Yes, the people of this faith have that narrative, the people of this Gaudiya Vaishnava have this story, you know, they talk about. It will remain a mystery. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is an open secret. It's open for everyone, but it remains a secret until you practice it. Hare Krishna. You can see I'm a little bit in my preaching mode, no? What to do? I can't get it out of my genetic codex. So let us see if there are any questions to these things. I saw a young boy first. The microphone is there. I saw our Ananya Bhakti from Lokadam. Purnamasi is also there. And here some our Rasa Sindhu. Where's Rasa Sindhu? There. So in the so let us start with the young boy Rajesh. This young boy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Over the past few days, there's this point where you've been bringing up about a devotee. He knows that sense gratification is bad, but, you know, unable to give it up. Sometimes he does engage in it, And interestingly, I came to one of the sessions at the Holy Name Retreat, and you mentioned a verse as well in the 11th canto.
Yeah, Jata
Shraddham Matkatasu Nirvina Sarva Karmashu, which says the exact same statement, but it says one should still enthusiastically engage in Krishna consciousness. So my question is, sometimes, at least for me, when material desires arise, it's very discouraging. So how can I keep that enthusiasm and keep that enthusiasm so I can keep continuing my sadhana in an attentive way?
What is your good age now?
I'm 18, Maharaj.
Then yes, you're young. But thank you. You have the way you phrased your question, so concise and so relevant. Yes. Yes. It is absolutely natural that disturbing thoughts will arise. Prabhupada says at one stage, even for great sages, this problem can happen. It is because our mind is material, and has. Why is it material? Well, it has so many material sanskaras in it. Sanskaras means deep impressions that our previous engagements in material life left there, even from previous life. You say purva sanskaras to these things. So it is absolutely normal that they arise, and some of them are really disturbing because they are so inappropriate to what you do at the moment, your spiritual life. You need to separate yourself from your thought by just learning to observe that. Oh yeah, now I have a violent thought, or I want to take revenge for a hurt that was given to me. So you see that without acting on it, to say, to ignore it, in other words. That's a practice of detaching yourself from the thought. Let me give you an example. I was once, I've given it many times, but because some of you like humor, I've found it out. I will give you an example about my own life. I was chanting once at a sacred space, a sacred spot in Vrindavan. It was very hot and I was very tired. And there was a very warm drizzle, and it was refreshing drizzle, and I was so happy. Well, I'm such a good chanter, now Giriraj sent some rain. It was not rain. When I looked up, it was a monkey who had aimed his pipe at me and was urinating on me. I was trying to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when I saw this, a monkey put his dirty urine on me, I thought, India, 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 only in India. I became culturally disturbed, I became so upset. I looked for a stone. I never do this. I don't throw stones at people and dogs. I don't. And I just wanted to I really wanted him to have it, I was aiming at his pipe, So there was one sadhu who had been previously encouraging me and appreciating that I was sitting so long and chanting. And he just shouted at me. He called out to me and said, "No, don't. I have umbrella." At that time, I was not prepared to take his umbrella. I wanted revenge. But because it was so hilarious, you know, he should take his umbrella and then sit there, and the monkey would do his monkey things, you know. I saw the comic of the comical element of the situation just stopped me, and I thought, well, why are you now? Your mind is upset because you don't like to be treated in such a way. You want to be appreciated and not what the monkey did to you. Just watch it a little. And as I made a distance to my thought, it's called going into the Sakshi Bhava. Krishna explains this to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. The intensity of that feeling went down, and I just said to the monkey, and I went to the shower, took a shower, and continued, and another spot, with my chanting. Don't you do this sometimes when you see a movie? There is some scene which you don't really want to look at. It's a violent scene, and soon their hand will fall from the limp of that sword fighter, and you don't want to see this. And you make a distance to it, and immediately you are no longer shocked. You think tomato ketchup, not blood, you know. So in other words, to make a distance to the mind and to observe its wanderings will cool it down. Psychology speaks of it. If you don't act upon a thought, after some time it will lose its potency. Now, if you are still young, but let us say you are 20-something, 23, and repeatedly a particular thought comes up, you might like to think, is this perhaps good if I go through the Grihastha ashram, where I have some comfort, and I practice Krishna consciousness at home with a nice supportive partner, and so on and so forth, and then go through this. But that only when it repeatedly knocks at the door. Most of our thoughts are just coming up, and due to some, let's not get into the details how thoughts arise. It's good enough for our purposes to know that they come from deeply embedded impressions, sankskara, and then, you know, then you act them. They're like waves. The wave has a high point. If you haven't, so it be first the thought is a little. Sometimes it's very strong in the beginning, so it reaches a high point. So if you don't act on it and just observe it, sometimes it's good even to laugh at an inappropriate thought, to laugh it away. Then the mind will think, oh, I'm such an idiot, you know, he's laughing at me. And then it will go down with the energy level, and it will disappear after some time. You have to learn this and observe it. You don't need to suppress it, like most of people in spiritual movements do wrongly. You know. You just observe it, but from the distance as it comes. And then it will go. You don't act upon it. May I give you an advice in one sentence? Don't take everything in your mind so serious. It's not you. It's the mind with previous impressions. We doubt so many things. Why not doubt our mind sometimes? No? Thank you, but a very nice question for your age, wonderful. If you engage your life young, you have a wonderful future because there is not so many impressions. The next person will be Ananya Bhakti. She's there, this lady. I know Ananya Bhakti when she, from the time she was just so small. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. I was now over the past few days thinking how I can really incorporate this Maranam in my daily life and also keep remembering Vrindavan even when I return home and when I'm in a completely different environment. And I was thinking, of course, our main source of Krishna Lila and Vrindavan is Krishna book, but then we hear so often we shouldn't approach the 10th canto until we've went through all the cantos. And now I personally haven't read the whole Bhagavatam yet, so I was wondering, when we start reading the Bhagavatam from the start, do you recommend or that we can still read Krishna book on the side? Or should we only approach it once we went through it all?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. This is a wrong narrative, and I have heard it many times. Only when you have finished the first 9 cantos can you go to the 10th. It is not Prabhupada's thought. He did not know if he would be able to finish his translation, because he was already elderly. So he gave the tense, he translated it very, very early, very early. You see when you hear the tapes of it. And it was a practice during his time to read Krishna book at the night time. It was a very sweet practice. It would be in many temples. They would read it, and while sipping milk, you know, the milk prasadam, milk calms the nervous system down. It's good to take in the evening if you are healthy and if you are not a vegan, like many of us are. So it was done during Prabhupada's time. I remember very much, and Prabhupada must have known about this because he was, first of all, he was informed about it. He was interested in everything. Prabhupada was so much with us that sometimes when he would, you know, he would come to a temple and he would go unannounced into the bathrooms. And then he would come out and he would say, "You are not Brahmanas. Brahmanas could not tolerate such unclean bathrooms." he would train us. I remember Prabhupada was interested in the translation of his books. He came in our translation office where we were, as far as I remember, we were 4 people in the translation process. First draft, then the editor, then the painter who came in and out to look at the text and then paint the pictures, and some other process. Prabhupada came and wanted to see how everything went. So he knew that we were reading. Perhaps he said it himself that we should read Krishna book. So my answer to you is, yes, read parallel. We need the fundament of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and Ishopanishad, but you have just studied in Mayapur this, no? If we need the fundament, then if you want to go high up in your life, you need a strong fundament. You need to repair the fundament from time to time, and then you can go very far. But buildings crumble who have a weak fundament, and people crumble in their spiritual life when they have a weak fundament, no? But yes, absolutely, this belongs to the fundament. We need to think of Krishna, you know, very important. We are called Krishna consciousness, people who have Krishna in the consciousness. Without this, we are not doing what we are about. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. So that the left and right brain half are equally addressed, I would first request Rasa Sindhu to ask his question, and then Poonamasi, and then I will look at the wristwatch perhaps, or we still have time, we can then take further questions. So let us first go to Rasa Sindhu. This is Rasa Sindhu, by the way, a jewel.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Thank you for incredible katha, Maharaj. I was realizing that the situation where I'm in right now, I think the katha is like a medicine. I can feel its potency, and I understand the medicine that I continue need to take. So I want to express my gratitude to you. The question I have, Maharaj, is the idea of the medicine being Krishna katha and Krishna naam. And so I was wondering that these days we go on the internet and there are many, many speakers from outside of ISKCON movement within the broader Gaudiya tradition who are also giving the medicine of Krishna katha, Krishna naam. And beyond the Gaudiya tradition itself, there are popular speakers from Vrindavan and other places. Now, as a grahastha who would be a grahastha for many years, and then somebody having access to the internet, I would always have access to these speakers, and sometimes I like hearing these speakers, or for instance, like the Ras Leela performance sometimes that happens in Vrindavan out of some, and so, or like references of Sur Das and other teachers. So I'm just wondering, Guru Maharaj, what would be your advice for us, because we have heard of being within the Sampradaya, being within the movement, and yet the idea of Krishna consciousness, being conscious of Krishna in other ways, that is also appealing, or that works for us. So I'm confused about that, Maharaj, if you can enlighten.
Yes, I will give now an answer. And those who hear the tapes, I request you to not take sentences and quote them out of my complete answer. No? There are very well-trained and very educated persons I have heard who speak wonderful and Krishna katha, where the audience feels the wow effect. They are there, they are some of them lead many of them, perhaps most of them, lead a very, very consistent life with which they, what they talk about. And our Hindi-speaking ISKCON devotees know about them and sometimes listen to them. This is I've heard from many devotees. I can't speak Hindi, but I trust those devotees who have told me that they are first class. Now, there is no difficulty in this if you do a second process. Now, everyone, don't quote just "there is no difficulty in this." You have to know now what is the second process. In spiritual life, we become initiated by our Diksha Guru. We feel he is Krishna sent. Krishna sent them in our life. By the mercy of Krishna, we meet our Guru, and by the mercy of our Guru, we meet Krishna. No, you have heard this. Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagavan, Jeev. So we have a Diksha Guru, and in our tradition, we can have one Diksha Guru only, but many Shiksha Gurus. Now it is said the information which we hear from various Shiksha Gurus, if we have a feeling, I don't know if this is appropriate, if this for my growth, then we need to go to our Diksha Guru and asked, is this good? Is this the direction I take in my life? And he will verify it mostly, or sometimes say, be careful here on this spot. No? That is the tradition. That is how it is. And anyone who acts at the Shiksha Guru, who gives instructions, it is his or her responsibility to not disturb the faith in the Diksha Guru of the other person. This is how it is done in our Vaishnava tradition. It is natural. So, Why do we go to our Diksha Guru? For confirmation, or perhaps for saying, when he says, be careful with this, this point is. There's a reason. My dear devotees, the mother milk of each mother is usually good if she doesn't have an illness, which also happens. But a child will be mostly nourished either by the milk from his own mother or by a datri, a nurse, which she knows this fits to my mother, my child. This milk is good. All milk is good, but only for the children. So you, by Krishna's arrangement, we have met our Diksha Guru, and he teaches. In our movement, we all are very, very, we feel it's very necessary to reflect back to Srila Prabhupada, no? But if you wish to hear, and you are an intelligent person, especially you, so intelligent, so good-hearted. Oops, here is a bird who did the same thing which the monkey did. Welcome. I won't become agitated with you. I learned from the monkey. So you hear when you have a need to hear about Krishna. You read the philosophy. You give many lectures. You will know when. Okay, that is what they say, but we see things a little different, and so on. And see if it nourishes you. When you are nourished, you will feel your bhakti increase. That is your desire to do seva. Yes, it's a good idea. You will feel the nourishment in you. And if you feel not nourished, there was one devotee who came to me, and the devotee said, I was recommended to go to this course on, it was within our movement, but when I listened to it, I developed some doubt. And I said, yeah, then it doesn't nourish you. You will not get anything. So take another course which will nourish you. Oh, let not the day come where we burn books. Let not the day come where we offend other Vaishnavas who talk about Krishna. That is not good. That is not good. But let also not the day come where we indiscriminately take nourishment that is not in our line and our understanding. That is equally bad. Or I don't know what is worse or what is better. But I would say, not every one of us is Rasa Sindhu or others amongst you. You don't need to go there, but if in your spiritual development this comes up and you feel nourished, and if you have a doubt, you confirm it with confirm if this is good, then I see no problem. And keep on reading Prabhupada. That, you know, what I do, I am, those who know me know that I'm incredibly curious. From a child, I needed to look everywhere and understand everything. It is a nature. It has to do with my constellation, you know, when I was born. These people who were born under my stars are like this. Ooh, interested in everything. Can't help it. It's a part of the nature. And when it comes to philosophy, I'm just so, I read every day in Prabhupada's books. Only here I can only read. There's no time. Everything is so full, you know. But I have Prabhupada's books always with me because I feel nourished by it. It's my mother milk. You know, and I wanted to be like this all the time. So I also appreciate those katas which which are including Prabhupada's vision, either they have learned it or, you know, like this. Hare Krishna. Don't forget the second. If there is a doubt, see and then follow your that line in which you came. Good. There was is Purnamasi. We have a microphone for you, Purnamasi. How do you think about it? It sounds more like the liberal side of things, no? Yes, but we need both. We need conservative thoughts that keep us connected with the past and our glorious tradition. But we need also a flexible type of thought which tells us how to apply the tradition to the modern situation. Otherwise, the traditions become stagnant. And the saddest thing is if conservative, both have their danger. Conservatism can come to the prideful mentality, I'm better than everyone else. You find that very often in conservative thinking throughout the various religious spectrum. And liberal people who are only liberal are often in the situation that they become perhaps lax, disloyal, disconnected. So we need both. And the saddest thing is when both start to quarrel on the internet as if they have not learned much. Hare Krishna. Both. Yes, Purnamasi.
Thank you very much for your endeavors for our upliftment. I have a question from yesterday, a practical one, about the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, when you quoted this verse, Kayena Vacha. And I remember in one of your talks you explained, and I think it's also supported by the acharyas, but I don't know where, that on the end...
The last line, yes, you say, so Narayana Yeti Samapayatvam, yes. Not Tat.
Yeah, and so please, can you explain this, because I use this, the other one.
Yeah, now here is Hari Parshad, so we can ask, is he still with us? He is there.
And very much, can I just add, because it's also said Narayan. Is it like for us that we meditate about our Ishtadev?
That question I can answer very very properly, but this other, I asked one Sanskrit man, but here we have the supreme Sanskrit man. Do you understand the question? In the verse, it says, one should offer everything by Narayana Yeti Samapayet Tat. And I have heard, and I have also written about this, that when you address my Lord, the verse, as we say, it gives a recommendation. Now, when you say it, you say, Narayana Yeti Samapayet Tvam. Oh, Lord Narayan, I offer this now to you. Is that grammatically okay? Or can you shed more light on this? Yeah, because of the feedback from the... You can come here, then there is absolutely no feedback. And there's good shade also.
Yeah, so there are both versions. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana vano srita svabhava karomi yatyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayet tat. Tat means one should surrender everything to Narayan, and thinking that this is for Narayan.
Mm-hmm.
And the practical application of that is Narayanayeti samarpayami.
Samarpayami.
Yeah.
Now we know it.
Yeah.
So samarpayami is in my book. Oh, good.
It's like a parallel mirror verse, which you can, there are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita. For example, yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, So somebody made yat karomi, yat ashnami, yat juhomi, dadami, yat, yat tapasyami kaunteya, yat tapasyami Shri Krishna, tat karomi twadarpanam. That whatever I eat, whatever I, you know, offer in sacrifice, I do it unto you. So there are, this is an instance of changing a verse from third person into second person. And many individuals have done that with many verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So this version is also popularly done when the actual act of offering is to take place. So you make it samarpayami. Samarpayami means I offer unto you. And there's also a detailed mantra in Hari Bhakti Vilas for.
You're not saying it to save my neck. It is like you have said.
No.
You're good. Good. Good.
I wouldn't say a lie.
Yes. And you know, Hari Parshad, I have an engagement there on the other side of the hill, so I will come only in the last section. I will be able, it could not be changed in the last section of your katha.
Okay.
No.
But we'll terribly miss you.
I will listen with the recording for sure. Hare Krishna. Is that your question? Samapayami. Good. Ah, Narayan. Yeah, now we say Narayan. Purnamasi, we must fix an Ishta Devata. You know, we want to go and cultivate it for, cultivate our devotion and offer it to that particular form of the Lord. That's why the Lord appears to us in the form which we desire. We heard this in the verse, no? That it speaks about the Ishta Deva. If you serve so many lords, you might not serve anyone in the end, you know. So the verse says Narayana. We should offer, or when you do samapayami, I offer this to you, Narayan. I always think of the Leela which happened very close by here, that when Krishna disappeared from the gopis, the gopis started searching for him everywhere. So Krishna watched them and decided to play a little trick on them. So he took on the form of Narayan and with four hands and was standing there. And the gopis saw him. They were looking for Krishna, who has two heads. They said, "Oh, Narayan, Narayan, nice to see you. Where's Krishna? Can you show us the way?" So Krishna remained like a deity. You can still see this deity in the village called Paita. Have you been there, Paita? It's not so far away from here. He's standing, he's not talking, he's standing there. After some time, one particular gopi came. And this particular gopi, which is singled out in the Bhagavatam as a very, as the gopi who worships Krishna the best, began to fix her unblinking eyes on Krishna, who had taken the disguise of Narayan. She was looking at him very strongly. And as this one particular gopi looked at him, his two extra arms disappeared. He developed sweat, perspiration, because he knew he could not trick that one gopi who had Ishta, who had fixed him so strongly in her heart that she is known as Krishna Mayi, she who always thinks of Krishna. Who is that gopi? You know everything already. So that is the gopi. No? So yes, a devotee will see everywhere his beloved deity Krishna. Because Krishna is all the other deities. Once, Krishna couldn't fall asleep, and he asked Yashoda, "Can you tell me, please, a good night story?" For Yashoda knew her son is extraordinary. She said, "Yes, there was a little boy." Hmm? So Krishna said, "Like a little boy who goes to sleep." Hmm? He's still there. The little boy, but his father pursued him. Hmm? But Krishna, the father was a demon. But Krishna, but the little boy continued with worshipping his beloved Lord. And when his father became so angry and wanted to kill him, the Lord came out half man, half lion from the pillar, and he killed the demon. He was not yet asleep. Okay, so Yashoda, another bedtime story. So there also it happened that the Lord appeared and went with his beloved wife Sita through the forest, and one demon came called Ravana, who kidnapped Sita. So the moment Yashoda said, this demon Ravana came and kidnapped Sita from Rama, Krishna jumped up in his little bed, little boy, and shouted, "Where is my bow? Where is my bow?" Getting into the mood of Rama, no? Who is an appearance of him. So for the Krishna Bhakta, every aspect of the Lord is Krishna. Do you know why you're not supposed, as a Krishna, Gaudiya Vaishnava, to step on the threshold of the temple? You know, here's the outside, and here is the dvara, the gate, and there's a threshold, and you're supposed to cross. To go over the threshold, and then you go in the temple, like you do in the Radharaman temple, no? So this threshold has a certain name which I have forgotten, and you're not supposed to step on it, you have to cross it and go over it. Do you know why? Because your beloved Lord lives there. He appeared as Nrisimhadev. He was neither outside nor inside the building, but on the threshold between inside and outside. So he's there. How can you step on him? Not possible. So the Vaishnava will see the Ishta Deva Spurti. What is the verse? Someone saw Stavara Jangama Deke Na Deke Tara Murti. Yes, that verse. I just can't hear so properly, and at the moment I'm overcome by insatiable hunger, so my brain doesn't work. But this verse says the devotee sees his Ishtadeva everywhere, and certainly in the various forms of God. Certainly, mostly there. Hare Krishna. So let me secretly look at. Yeah, we have finished now on the point. This is stupid. This is a success moment in my life. I'm absolutely. It's 1:30. Thank you. I have to stop here. I have to go now somewhere. But I want to give you all a surprise. I will ask Smita Krishna and his good brother to go. I have Jagannath Mahaprasad. You will develop love of God from this. I have here this and here this. Smita Krishna, come, and Sharad Bihari, come. So they will stand at the exit there as you go out. Oops. And when that is finished, in case it's sorry, you just break, but not too tiny pieces, you know. Oh my God. Then I have Mahaprasad from Haridev and from Radha Syam Sundar. I'm full of this. They will distribute. Everyone will get something. But first, the Mahaprasad of Jagannath will be distributed. Hare Krishna. You may go. So,